check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to the Bama Online Podcast. Travis Reiter, senior analyst for BOL, alongside senior team reporter Charlie Potter. We are going to revisit today five questions for the Alabama football team that we had a couple weeks ago before the Crimson Tide jumped into fall camp. We now know some injury situations as we move through the preseason that are currently in play for this team. We have a scrimmage in the books from last Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and we've got Charlie Potter right here with us on the podcast. Been a busy stretch for Charlie, and then you throw into all this too, Charlie, Bama in the NFL, right? I mean, what are you updating right now? 70, 75 guys as we get into the preseason, and we're starting to see some moves, by the way, where some rosters are concerned.
Yeah, there's 71 on active rosters, 75 on total rosters. That's the guys that are injured, and of course, Calvin Ridley. And it's tough in the preseason because well over half of the guys aren't playing. Now, that'll ramp up a little bit as we get closer to the start of the regular season. But yeah, the NFL roundup's always it's an undertaking. It helps, you know, to kind of go through and do it by day in the preseason because, what, there were eight games on Saturday, five on Friday. But, yeah, those guys in the NFL, even though they've moved on from Tuscaloosa, they keep you busy.
And even after the rosters are set at 53, I guess, yeah, it's not like half these guys are going to go away. You're still looking at, what, in excess of 50, 55 players that you expect to be on NFL rosters when week one rolls around, I guess.
Oh yeah. I mean, usually it's close to 60, and yeah. That's quite the feat. And you know, right now there are no long snappers. You have J.K. Scott over in L.A. There's no place kickers, but everywhere else, you know, the
position
rosters are
players.
Full. Yeah. Those offensive linemen, those defensive linemen, those DBs, wide receivers, they litter rosters across the league. So even when you're going to have to trim rosters down by half, there's going to be plenty of Alabama guys to make it. I'll be interested to see just these young guys, the rookies. You know, you have the guys that were undrafted free agents. Yeah, I wonder if they don't make the roster, they'll probably latch on in a practice squad somewhere. There's not really much to keep up with from that point of view, but still, there'll be damn near 60 guys, if not more, wow, on rosters for the start of the regular season. So, yeah, it's fun to keep up with because, you know, usually you're watching me. I don't have a favorite NFL team. I know you do, but it's usually just from a fantasy football standpoint. But, you know, on a Sunday after a game, especially a home game, you can, you know, kind of chill out and watch the Bama guys because any game you turn on, you're going to see somebody.
Hoping to be able to see a handful of Bama guys in a game I'm planning to check out on Saturday night when the Pittsburgh Steelers take on my Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Cam Robinson right now, I believe, is pretty much the extent of the Bama representation in Jacksonville. And from mm-hmm. everything I hear, he's having a hell of a camp. He got the new deal with the Jags and is looking really good at the left tackle position for Jacksonville. But then, of course, we know Pittsburgh with Najee and Minka and I guess, what, Levi Wallace now. No shortage of players in the black and gold, although you just never know how much or if frontline guys are going to play. I guess if they are, though, week two-ish of the preseason is when you're more likely to see them.
Yeah, I wonder about guys like Minka and Najee because those are, I guess, cornerstones really of that roster.
Absolutely.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
Levi, I think he played this past week, so you'll see him. J.C. Hasenauer's there. He's a fringe starter or a key reserve. And then Chris Owens also. He's a guy that's probably battling to make a roster spot. So, yeah, Pittsburgh, they're one of, I think, you know, four or five, maybe six teams that have five or more Alabama players on the roster. So there are several teams where it's just everywhere you can look, you can see a former Crimson Tide player. I think New England has the most with six right now. But, yeah, I mean, I don't follow the Jags as closely as you, but it does sound like Cam Robinson's had a pretty good preseason up to this point.
Well, you will. I promise you that.
I know that sounds like a miss.
When they're 8-0, pal, you'll be tuned in like everybody else, and their games are getting flexed, you know, to prime positions on the television schedule. Now, I mean, we'll see. Now, there's optimism with Doug Peterson in charge now in Jacksonville. Certainly can't be any worse.
Yep, that's true.
Than what the Jags were enduring, even at this time a year ago, it was pretty clear that Urban Meyer wasn't forever down in Duval. Hey, let's get into some Alabama football talk, Charlie. As promised, wanted to revisit the five questions we had for the Crimson Tide just before the start of fall camp. I figure between, you know, a decent amount of padded practices now and certainly a scrimmage in the books, it would be a good time to sort of go back and look at those questions and fill in some blanks. So let's start right at the top. What is the injury situation for Alabama? And in terms of availability, how is that impacting this team? We asked that question going into camp. We got some news at the start of camp with Cameron Latu, and then some unfortunate news even in the last week. You know, when you think about the slot receiver position and, you know, how much you thought JoJo Earl, and still might, we'll see in time, was going to impact things there in the slot. I would say the offensive side of the ball's been hit pretty good by injuries. But then even on defense, we saw some limitations maybe for some guys during Saturday scrimmage.
Yeah, offensively is really where it starts from an injury standpoint, at least when where guys are set to miss, you know, extended period of time. The biggest one being JoJo Earl. You know, he was the most recent update that Nick Saban gave. And he has a Jones fracture in his foot, which Nick Saban gave about a 6 to 8 week timeline. That could obviously change. You know, he talked about maybe the start of October, which, you know, we've discussed at length on this podcast now how big of a month that's going to be for Alabama from a scheduling standpoint. And, you know, Nick Saban also went out of his way to talk about how good of a camp that JoJo's had. And I think that's big for that receiver position because, you know, Earl got on the field last year as a true freshman, but it sounds like he's made some progress. He's been more consistent, whether it's in the slot or as a punt returner. So that's kind of a dual effect on this this roster. The other big one from an injury standpoint is Cameron Latu. And you know, Nick Saban said he has a minor knee injury. He's going to be out a couple weeks. That was on media day when he said that. So that was, what, August 7th. So it's been 9 days since then. So we'll see if he gives any other kind of update on Cam. I'm sure they're going to take it easy with him. He's someone, they know what he brings to the table. Of course, you want to get him reps with a new position coach and continue to get comfortable with that at the top of the pecking order. But it gives an opportunity for some of these young tight ends, which I think is very important. Then from there, you know, Aaron Anderson, another wide receiver. He's someone that's dealing with Nick Saban called it a little knee injury. Probably be back in a few weeks. Elijah Pritchett, the true freshman offensive tackle, you know, tore his pec in the weight room. And, they had to, you know, work with him. He'll be out for a little while. A couple of other freshmen on the defensive side of the ball, Isaiah Hastings, came in with the injury. They fixed that when Earl Little, the cornerback, had a shoulder issue coming in, and they fixed that. So, you know, that's four freshmen that either came in with injuries or you know, dealt with stuff during the off season that have been shelved a little bit. And then he didn't really provide a big time update on it in terms of what was going on, but he did mention that Tyler Harrell, the Louisville transfer, isn't quite 100%. He's been in and out of practice. The good thing is he's been at practice, though. I think he was able to do some things in the scrimmage on Saturday as well. Kyrie Jackson on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He didn't scrimmage. And that's, you know, opened up some opportunities for young guys. I think Terrion Arnold being probably the biggest beneficiary there. So none of them are super significant. I think JoJo Earl obviously is the most. But, you know, Nick Saban's gave 2-3 week timelines for a lot of these guys, which all things considered, I think is almost the best case scenario given some of the rumors that circle around when these things happen.
Yeah, with multiple injuries there at the slot and how that also carries over into probably more so the punt return game than even the kickoff return game. You know, that brings some guys into focus, right? Christian Leary, certainly, and an experienced guy like Trayshawn Holden, who has shown that he can play multiple spots at this point in his career, I guess.
Yeah, I think Trayshawn had a good scrimmage on Saturday. He's someone that a lot of people kind of raved about. And, you know, Alabama has it depends on the way you look at it. You could envision a starting lineup of Holden being kind of the most experienced returner, Jermaine Burton being an experienced guy coming in that Nick Saban's raved about from a consistency standpoint, and then Ja'Cory Brooks, someone that finished the season in the starting lineup. I think they were the first three receivers up for Alabama in this scrimmage with the first team offense on Saturday. But yeah, the slot position, it needs some help because you have both Earl and Anderson out. And Christian Leary is certainly someone that could benefit from increased reps. You're hearing from Nick Saban. He went out of his way to mention Kobe Prentice, the true freshman, on Saturday. He might have been the MVP of the scrimmage just in terms of the plays that he was able to make. You know, there's some other guys. I think just from the receiver standpoint as a whole, Kendrick Law is a young guy that has been brought up a little bit just in terms of impressing early. I think he did some good things in the spring as well. So the mixture of returning guys and then the new players, I think there's a lot to like about this receiving core. You clearly want it to be healthy, and you don't have just a ton of experience kind of at the bottom of the pecking order. But, you know, if these guys can continue to be consistent, which they as a whole really weren't on Saturday, Nick Saban talked a lot about the drops. You know, if they can be consistent and continue to develop that rapport with Bryce Young, I think the position group will be all right, even, you know, good from an Alabama standpoint. But, you know, I think this second scrimmage is going to show us a little more just in terms of who's getting some of that attention, some of those first team reps. And we'll see if any guys kind of emerge like Kobe Prentice did this past weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting when you consider the possibility of a first three of Holden, perhaps, and as you said, Brooks and Burton, and, you know, we continue to hear about the need for more speed in that rotation. That's where you figured Tyler Harrell would make a big impact. Maybe he still will. You know, we still got a little ways to go here. But also, we don't want to put the perception out there that guys like Jermaine Burton don't have speed or Ja'Cory Brooks doesn't have speed. They're not Jamison Williams, but how many of those kind of guys are running around college football? It's still a capable-looking core, and certainly when you have a quarterback like Bryce Young, he can make them look even better. So we'll see. It's one of those situations. I guess it's just odd, Charlie, because really when you think back to even 2017-ish or so, it seems like every year by this point of fall camp, you pretty much knew who the top three or four guys were, right? And now, once you get past Jermaine Burton right now, it's kind of wide open, it sounds like.
It feels that way, yeah. I think, you know, Ja'Cory Brooks, you know, he's someone that missed the spring. But the way that he was used last season and the way that both Nick Saban and Bill O'Brien have talked about him, I find it hard to believe that Ja'Cory Brooks isn't going to be in the mix or at least maybe even a starter for this team. I think if Trayshawn Holden continues to do what he's been doing, you know, he has a good chance of that as well. But it's going to be up to guys like Leary and some of these young guys in the slot to be more consistent and productive. You know, I think, well, you talked about the speed, and you're right, because DeMarco Helms, we heard from him yesterday, and someone asked him about Jermaine Burton, and the first thing he said was speed. So, yeah, a lot of these guys aren't Jamison Williams. I feel like that's almost unfair to think that these guys are going to come in and have the same kind of impact that he did. But I think Alabama likes what they have from Jermaine Burton. It's just those other guys need to be more consistent, because anytime Nick Saban talks about this wide receiver position, he mentions Jermaine Burton first and talks about how he's the most consistent guy there. So Holden, Brooks, those younger guys, they kind of need to get on that level and be more productive for Alabama to be able to kind of round out this receiving core.
And you talk about Burton. The next question we had was, will the transfer impact meet up with expectations? I'd say so far it absolutely has with Burton. Jahmyr Gibbs continues to be front and center in buzz and talk where the Alabama offense is concerned for the upcoming season. Sounds like Tyler Steen is doing what they hoped he would do at the left tackle position. So specifically on offense, outside of Tyler Harrell, and maybe you want to include Miles Kitzelman, a junior college transfer, in this as well, because it does sound like he's blending in nicely there at tight end, especially with Latu out. So far, so good. I guess if there's an intriguing guy right now, it may be Eli Ricks based on that competition at corner.
No, you're absolutely right. I think offensively, we've talked a lot about Burton. He's that dude receiver. He's what they wanted and needed. And Jahmyr Gibbs is a versatile, explosive playmaking running back, and adds to the impressive depth that they have at that position. Nick Saban has said that he likes what he's seen from both of Alabama's offensive tackles. And looking at the scrimmage on Saturday, Tyler Steen was at left tackle and J.C. Latham was at right tackle. And I think that group is slowly coming together, at least from a first team perspective. So the guys on offense that came in as sort of plug and play guys, they've kind of been that so far. I think you're going to be big pieces for this offense. But defensively, with Eli Ricks, you have to say that he missed most of last season. He's coming off that shoulder injury, and he is learning a new system. But these other guys are also learning a new system as well. I think it's just been a lot for him. And all three of the guys that have been kind of the perceived front runners at the cornerback competition have dealt with injuries either coming off of them or this offseason. Now, we know that Kyree Jackson missed Saturday scrimmage because of a groin issue, and that's created some more opportunities for some other guys to join the mix. I think it's realistic at this point to say it is now at the very least a four-man race with Terron Arnold entering the mix. He's someone that's had a good camp. He had a good scrimmage on Saturday. And if some of these other guys can't put it together or can't get on the field because of injury and availability, then a guy like Terron Arnold can certainly benefit the most from that. So I think Eli Ricks is still someone that they hope can be a part of this defense. I don't think that's been ruled out by any means. But, we're, 18 days from kickoff? And, if he's someone that is splitting reps with a redshirt freshman that didn't play last year, a lot of times that younger guy is going to get more of the opportunities if he's the more consistent contributor. So I think cornerback now, it has been defensively, but it's starting to be one of the more intriguing position battles on the entire team now as we get closer to the season opener.
Yeah, it is. And look, as you outlined very well, Ricks has been through it over the last calendar year. He did have the injury at LSU. He was a little bit limited in the spring as far as March and April goes. And you get all that. I guess what concerns you a little bit is that it doesn't seem like Nick Saban is pointing as much to his health as he is Ricks adapting to Alabama's defense and how they go about their business. And you watch Ricks at LSU and you just want to talk about man coverage and being sticky. That guy is that. He has great length. He can man up. He can press. But we know there's more to it in Alabama's defense. And, Nick Saban is like any coach. He loves defensive backs that produce takeaways. But if you're not producing takeaways and you're giving up balls over your head, or, you're kind of putting the rest of the defense in a tough spot, that's going to prove problematic. And, look, at any time now, it may just begin to work for Eli Ricks. And if it does, then we're right back to this guy being especially tough to keep off the field because we know everything else is in place for him to be very successful at Alabama. In connection with Tyler Steen, one of the questions we had before the start of fall camp, for all the positive talk about new offensive line coach Eric Wolford, will improvement from the OL show up on the field? Where do you think we're at right now with that, Charlie?
I think that first unit is starting to come together. It was kind of interesting on Saturday to see what the first team was. You could guess probably 80% of it. You had Tyler Seen at left tackle. You had Darian Dalcourt, who's healthy now, at center. You had Emil Ekior, the real veteran of the group, at right guard, and J.C. Latham at right tackle. And he's a guy that Nick Saban's been really pleased with his progress and aggressiveness on the offensive line. But then at left guard, for the most part, they did mix and match some people. It wasn't this unit for the entire time, but Kendall Randolph opened the scrimmage at left guard with the ones, and I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, granted, you know, the first question is why, and you have to take into account that JV and Cohen, who started at left guard last season, he's a guy that's he was away from the facility a little bit this summer. You know, he shared that he was dealing with some things from a mental health standpoint, and you know, shifted his focus there. And you know, kudos to him for realizing that and taking control of his situation. But he also he worked with the first team. I think that's definitely worth noting. Javian did. But the fact that Kendall Randolph is getting opportunities and moving around and working with the one still, and then you hear Nick Saban talk about that first group, it's interesting. I'm very intrigued to see how this offensive line looks this week, and then what we see or hear, we won't see because we won't be there, but hear about this offensive line this coming Saturday in scrimmage number two. Because if it's that same unit and Nick Saban's still complimentary of this group, then I'll be damned if that's not probably the group that we see in the first game against Utah State. But I think, you know, the second group he wasn't as complimentary about. He talked about how they struggled a little bit. You know, a lot of the times the twos are also going against the first team defense, and we know what Alabama has from a pass rushing standpoint there. But I think that first group, though, to hear the compliments from Nick Saban, to continue to hear the good things about the new assistant, Eric Wolford, I think they like what they have in the offensive line and the potentiality of that group. We'll just see if that continues.
Yeah, it starts with those tackles being implemented there with Steen and Latham. And then you're right, though. Randolph is a guy that I've said it many times before. You're going to pull for this guy. He's a super senior. Intangibly, he is the consummate team player. He's a guy that has provided depth to this point, really at three positions, guard, tackle, and tight end. So you'd like to see him go out as an every down starter. And I think he does provide absolutely legitimate competition, maybe more so at guard than even at tackle. So still to be determined there on the inside at left guard. Javion Cohen, a guy who is certainly experienced after starting pretty much every game a season ago, but it's not like it's going to be a skate through the preseason. And that old adage about getting the best five on the field, you know, they're going to continue to do their diligence in that regard. And if Kendall Randolph's the best that they've got at left guard, well, good for him. He's it would have been a long time coming for Kendall in terms of that every down starter type role on that offensive line. So as we move to the other side of the ball, Charlie, kind of bouncing around here with these questions from the preseason from before the start of fall camp, will the defense live up to the hype, not just by Saban standards, but from an all-time perspective? And I guess we kind of still look at that cornerback position when we start to try to fill in some blanks. There's some good competition elsewhere, though, too, right? From a rotational perspective on the defensive line. And, of course, interesting stuff from Saban where the weak side spot is concerned following Saturday scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, we know what Alabama has at outside linebacker. They're going to put the best pass rushing duo in the country on the field, Will Anderson and Dallas Turner. And then, oh, by the way, they have Chris Braswell, another former five-star. The safeties are back. You know, Jordan Battle, DeMarco Hellams are going to be the leaders of this secondary. You know, they've talked the last couple weeks about their communication and how that's improved. They're stepping up as leaders. Brian Branch is an underrated player in this defense that doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion. I think he'd have a breakout season at star. You know, they have veterans on the defensive line, but I think the way the cornerback position, you know, plays out, and then the play at the Will linebacker spot, like you mentioned, and then just an interior pass rush and a rotational aspect of this defensive line will go a long way in determining that question. You know, Henry Toa, I should have mentioned him a minute ago, but, you know, he's back. He's more comfortable having a year in the program. getting a guy like Jalen Moody to be consistent beside him, I think, is key. You know, Nick Saban was pretty complimentary of him when talking about the inside linebackers on Saturday, but he talked about the younger players and how they're still swimming a little bit. But then you hear from Pete Golding on media day, last Sunday, about Jalen Moody and how he just needs to stack days, that consistency level. So if they can get a player to be what they want to be at will linebacker, and then if they can get some of these young guys to be, you know, big time contributors from a rotational standpoint in that defensive line, guys like Jamil Burrows, guys like Jaheim Otis, they're two guys that got some reps with the ones on Saturday and did some nice things. If this all kind of comes together, like it can, it's not that far fetched of an idea to throw that out there, then yeah, I think this defense can be really special. They, outside of the, you know, the last, you know, 15, 30 minutes of the national championship game, this defense played really well down the stretch of last season. And I think they remember the way the season ended. That's kind of stuck in their crawl a little bit. And they're motivated to go out there and be world beaters. You know, Will Anderson is nice when he's talking to us, but he's pissed off at the world when he puts that helmet on. And I think they have the pieces in place to lead this defense. I think they have the guys behind them that are willing to follow and to be receptive of that leadership. And if they can just get some of these, you know, key position battles or what have you to round out to their liking, then yeah, I think this defense can be really good. I don't know if the best of the Saban era, but it, you know, if they live up to their potential, they can certainly be, you know, up for the discussion.
Yeah, the barometers have changed in today's football too.
Yeah.
When you think about the way the game was played offensively, even in 2011, and that was a hell of a defense. Don't get me wrong. You can just look at the NFL draft and the NFL in general for more on that. Entirely different game these days. So, sort of the measuring stick that you put up next to a defense these days compared to 10, 11 years ago, not all that much the same. And so, you mentioned Jaheim Otis, and at this point, if he's not the top storyline of this camp, he's a top two or three, right?
Yeah, I mean, to hear him kind of be brought up, not unprompted, because I think it was Pete Golding was asked about interior pass rush. And sure, he mentioned DJ Dale, Byron Young, Jamil Burrows. He mentioned other guys, but it's the way that they talk about Jaheim Otis and what he can do from just to being a wall. He's tough to block one-on-one. He can get around those one-on-ones. He has some wiggle for a guy his size. He's obviously been someone that's transformed his body in a very positive way. And then, you know, to hear guys like Will Anderson, who doesn't get really into specifics about his teammates. They're trained to do that from a media standpoint, but really shower him with praise and talk about how, you know, when he's watching film, sometimes he gets distracted by Jaheim Otis and what he's able to do. Yeah, it's something that catches your attention. It's one of those young guys. There's been several young players. We've talked about them already. Kobe Prentice, Terrion Arnold, that have done some nice things in this camp. But if Jaheim Otis is someone that's been talked about from the jump, and I think some of that was triggered by what he shares with his weight loss journey on social media. But that journey's paid off for him to be more effective on the field. He was clearly a top 100 prospect with what he was able to do at a really heavy weight, and he's dropped a lot of that and in a much better position, and is translating to the field and benefiting him in a big way. So, yeah, I don't know if the top story, but he's definitely the top youngster that's been brought up a couple times, if not more, by guys, and sometimes even unsolicited. So, if he's not on, I don't know if he's going to be a guy that's just a consistent first team contributor this fall, but I think he can certainly make some kind of impact.
And when you talk about potentially great defenses, you got to have nicknames, right? How about DeMarco Hitman Helms?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You like that okay. one?
Yeah, I mean, you know? I don't know if it's as good as the Terminator for Will Anderson, but yeah. Well, and it was a little confusing because Jordan Battle revealed that last week, and he didn't mean it this way, but he basically said he gave it to himself.
See, it doesn't count then.
Well, no, here's what it is.
You can't give yourself a nickname. That's the rule.
It made it sound like DeMarco walked in the locker room one day. He's like, hey, guys, I'm Hitman from now on. But I think he just meant his play speaks for itself. And that's
I gotcha.
It was one of those that just
– it was a good fit.
DeMarco, because he was just like, one of the teammates gave it to me, and I'll take it. He
talked about, all right, well, then it counts.
Yeah. His tenacity on the field, how he's not afraid of anything. And yeah, whether it's him or Brian Branch, it's up for debate who's the hardest hitter in the secondary. But when you have a couple of guys that are, you know, vying for that role or that title, that's a good thing to have. And yeah, Hitman's definitely up there, no doubt.
Well, I was going to say, because, you know, in the spring, it was Brian Branch who got the Leroy Jordan Headhunter Award.
Right. Yeah.
On defense. So, but, you know, they were probably spreading things out a little bit because DeMarco, along with Kool-Aid McKinstry, were your Bobby Johns Defensive Back Award recipients. So, yeah, you know,
you also
just
had DeMarco
getting it all out there.
He was coming off that ankle issue from last year, too.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, if he's healthy, I think Alabama fans are ready to see him live up to that Hitman, because there were times last year you could just tell, and especially in some open field situations where it just wasn't going to happen for him because of the ankle situation.
Yeah, no doubt. I think a healthy Battle and Helms, getting those guys back to come back for their senior years and kind of bypass the NFL draft for a year, it's big for the secondary because you have both cornerback positions open. But for those corners to have veterans that know what's going on and aren't taking a long time to communicate and to pick up on things, that's beneficial for the position battles elsewhere. And so I think with his knowledge, with his playmaking ability, I mean, the guy had 3 interceptions last year. That's tied for the team lead. If he can be healthy and just be a missile, you know, in the lanes, you know, for Alabama and help out in the run game, I think he could have a big year, no doubt.
You talk about lasting memories from that national championship game. I think both safeties probably have some, along with the linebackers, too, because in the second half of that game, Georgia kind of took it to Alabama on the ground. So there's certainly motivation for a lot of different areas of this Alabama team going into the 2022 season. And speaking of that, our fifth and final question that we're going to revisit here, should the expectation for this team be national championship or bust, Charlie? Has anything happened to this point anyway of fall camp that would affect your thinking, your prediction on that either way?
No, I mean, the injuries are never what you want to see, but, you know, so far none have been season ending, you know, knock on wood. You never want to see that for any of these guys, but, you know, the injuries aren't insurmountable. I think, again, at the tight end position, you're getting guys that are getting invaluable reps in practice and in these scrimmages and getting more comfortable and familiar with what they need to do. You know, corner, you know, Nick Saban talked about it at SEC Media Days, the significance of that position, you know, going toward the success of this defense and this team. It's good now that they have another option. You know, 4 options is better than 3. And, you know, we'll see how it goes there. But yeah, I mean, if everybody stays healthy, if this offensive line continues to come together, if they get those wide receivers to be a little more consistent, cut back on the drops, yeah, I mean, I still stick by the, you know, 15-0 is certainly a possibility. 12-0 in the regular season is definitely a possibility. If they can keep all this up, yeah, it's national championship or bust.
Yeah, and we talked about this when we first went through these 5 questions a few weeks back. Injuries, of course, always the great unknown. But even with what we know about this team at this point, with the injury to JoJo Earl, with Cameron Latu out for the start of camp, with Aaron Anderson out and Kyrie Jackson dealing with a little bit of something right now, you know, still a team that's built in a way to withstand those kind of injuries. Now you get to the quarterback position and something happens to 9. That's where I think about the only scenario I can think of where you start to rethink that sort of 15-0 championship or bust mindset when looking at this team. Well, Charlie, as always, a lot of fun talking some Alabama football. We didn't talk much about men's basketball, man, but a nice, very nice finish to the tour over there in France and Spain. And you kind of wondered after those first 2 games, exactly, you know, really, how good is this team? But definitely got a challenge in that 3rd game, and not just in terms of how they responded tangibly, but I think if you're Nate Oates, you like that you know, that team probably showed you a little something, although it's still very early. As far as, you know, staying the course and finishing a game against solid competition with a W.
Yeah, I think you said it there. The finish in that game was impressive because we've seen Alabama, you know, not be able to close games out in the past. But yeah, after those first two games, you kind of wonder, okay, what kind of teams are they scheduling here? You know, it's beneficial to have the time, the practice time, the time together, the ability to build camaraderie. But to get a test in that final game and to come out on top with a convincing win is big. Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get to see much of it. You know, we saw the highlights Alabama put out. But, you know, basketball season, I think, is going to be exciting. And that's considering, you know, they still don't have a healthy Javon Quinterly yet. I think Brandon Miller, the hype train, is leaving the station. You better jump on if you want to be on. But I think this team could be really exciting this fall. To see, you knew that Brandon Miller was going to be special. He's a five-star prospect. The coaches raved over him. But to see guys like Rylan Griffin and Noah Clowney kind of come into their own as well and be significant contributors for this team, whether as starters or off the bench, I think that's got to be pretty encouraging. You know, you want to win every game you play in, but at the same time, to be able to see some guys get more comfortable and confident, I think that's certainly beneficial.
Yeah, a feel-good trip, it seems, all the way around for Nate Oates and his bunch over the last week or so. Well, Charlie, we'll wrap it up right there. It's good to catch up, and maybe we'll do a watch-along here soon. We'll see. We'll see what the practice video looks like. You know, sometimes as you get further and further into camp, it becomes a little shorter, and, well, to be honest, there's only so much we can see to begin with, but maybe we'll have one of those coming up down the road.
We'll see. Yeah, we're supposed to get it tomorrow and I think Friday and then two more next week before the regular season kicks off. It's kind of a shame that we didn't get it from the scrimmage. That would have been nice. Alabama sent out a clip. I think it was less than a minute of the scrimmage, and there's a few plays from that. But
Jake Pope.
Yeah.
Get on it.
But no, I mean, now football's coming up. I mean, this week, high school football kicks off. I'll be driving up to Jacksonville, Alabama to see Boaz his first game.
Nice.
So it'll be here before we know it.
Like, when you go to a Boaz game, given your stature there hometown, does the PA guy at Boaz, does he acknowledge your presence? That, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're extremely honored and excited to have famed Boaz alum Charlie Potter with us tonight, and you get a round of applause, or how does that work when you go back to Boaz? Now this game's going to be in Jacksonville, yeah, it sounds like, so that won't happen. Road, but yeah, when you go back to Boaz, I got to think they maybe between quarters, kind of like Alabama brings Derrick Henry out sometimes when he's back. I got to think it's like that for Charlie Potter.
No, it's funny you say that. Like, I don't want to drag anybody, but I've seen teammates of mine, classmates of mine, guys that graduated in my class, say that they've gone to games and people are like, "Oh, you're so and so." I'm just like, "Get the hell out of here!" Nobody's I do. Oh. I mean, the PA guy, or at least the radio crew, I know them. They call some of the games up in Birmingham for basketball, but okay. No, I don't get
get that kind of acknowledgement.
Anybody other than people I know, and that's one of the being kind of the introvert I am. I going home running into people, that's the worst. So I try to do that, which is possible.
Oh, Charlie, we're gonna have to work on that, man. We got plenty to work on right now, though, at BamaOnline.com. So be sure to join us right there at BOL. Hang out with us on the roundtable. Premium message board of choice for Alabama fans around the world. That's right, right there at BamaOnline.com. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, the Bama Online Podcast, we certainly hope you'll do that. And if you'd leave us a rating and a review while you're there, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Charlie, as always, thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's always good to catch up.
For Charlie Potter, Travis Ryder, thanking you once again for joining us here on the Bama Online Podcast. And until next time. So long, everybody.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.